I am super excited about my guest today. I met him at Lifetime Fitness, one of my favorite gyms. And after being in his class, sweating, as well as being exhausted at times, I thought he would be the perfect guest to talk to you all this month about heart health and Black History Month. So thank you for joining me, Jared. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You got me nervous. I'm never nervous, but I'm nervous today. But no.
Yeah, you're never nervous in class.
Yeah, I know, right? Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I'm really an honor to be here.
I appreciate it. So why don't we get right into it? What type of class do you teach?
Lifetime has three formats. They have a power. So say, for instance, like yourself, you train, you get ready for a contest, and then you want to use your outside bike and you want to come into inside bike. We have like the same type of training. That's called power. The next one is called amp. Most people know amp because it's similar to soul cycling. Like you dance on the bike here, you dad, blah, blah, blah. We actually say it's a party on the bike when it comes to that. As you see, I don't teach that because I don't dance on the bike. Last but not least, we have what we call edge. It's all about music. It's all about metric. So it's based on watts and speed and RPMs, which is pace. And I feel like if you go to a spin class, that's probably where you want to start at. If you just first time riding, even though most people rode a bike, but I think that's the place where you should start at. It's just the basic part of just the Lifetime and this indoor cycling.
How long have you been at Lifetime Fitness?
See, I opened Lifetime Fitness in 2017. I was recruited from another cycle studio at the time by Lifetime, by some regional managers at Lifetime and the group fitness manager at the time, and the GM used to come to my class. I didn't know who they were. So they recruited me and they said, hey, we want you to work for Lifetime. I'm like, we're in Charlotte. I never heard of Lifetime, or being from Georgia and them living in Maryland, I never knew of Lifetime, even though they were around. I thought they were talking about like that 24-hour fitness place. I was like, I don't know what a 24-hour fitness place. But they recruited me, and in 2017, December, I actually did the first spin class with the owner, Brahm, of Lifetime.
And how many classes do you teach right now in Lifetime?
I teach 6 classes in 5 days, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, in the evenings, and twice on Saturday, 10 and 11:15. And then once on Sunday at 10:45, except the last Sunday of the month, I teach a 2-hour class, and that's a continual 2-hour class. So I kind of create 3 classes, but it's kind of fun.
All right. So let's get into your why. Why did you even decide to do this? And what motivates you to do that many classes per week?
Well, the why, and when you gave me this question, it made me think about why I did become an instructor. I don't think I became an instructor on my own. Me and one of the other instructors in the club named Michelle Lowry, we used to ride at Fitness Connection right up the street at Audrey Kale. I think now it's a pickleball court or whatever it is, but it's the one that has the bowling alley and the laser tag. So we used to ride there. I didn't know her. But we started riding together. And then one day the instructor said, one of the instructors said, you two need to be instructors. We were like, why we want to be instructors? Like, well, you ride so hard. And I was like, okay, we'll try. And the reason I wanted to become a instructor there because they had a certain format. It was called group ride. It was actually out of a company called Mosa that's in Atlanta. They had a different group fitness formats. And the reason I like group ride was that I knew that no matter where I go, I was going to get the same 9 type of tracks. I know the first 3 is going to be a warm up, probably a warm up, a small climb, and then a heart racer, I like to say. But then you had the same format. It didn't matter about the songs. And then probably more importantly, Jaja, it didn't matter about the instructor. That's why I always try to get. It's like, create a format where it's not about the instructor anymore. It's about the people in the class. So no matter where I went in the United States, if it was a group ride format, I knew what exactly to expect. And that's why I became an instructor. Plus, I don't want to get fat. I played football in college. I hate running. I said, I'm not going to run anymore. So I don't want to get fat and I have nothing but girls. So I can't have some young dude come up in here all fit and I'm looking all flabby. And he's thinking he can take, they can take their dad. And no, that's why I'm, yeah. You know, long story.
So it's really the girls, really.
Exactly.
Is what it comes down to, your daughters. Oh, I totally get it.
Exactly.
All right. So I, the one reason I really love, there's several reasons why I really love your class. And I want to get into it now. So for beginners, when they come in, and I don't see every instructor do this, they come in, you get them situated, you take your time with beginners and newbies. Like, why do you even do that? Like, what's your why behind that?
Thank you. Thank you for asking. I'm glad you noticed that because I think that's the most important part of the class. If you're new to, riding a bike, indoor cycling, or if you're even new to just coming to any workout, and Jaja, you're fortunate. You're one of the people that you exercise. You've always been trying to stay in fitness and keep health up and mentally and physically strong. A lot of people aren't like that. They see the class. They might be actually referred to by a friend. They might be come to a friend. But when you come into class, I want to make sure that, first of all, you understand that it's all about you. It's not about me. So I want to make sure that everybody gets their bike set up correctly. All right. Because if you don't have your bike set up correctly, you're going to hate class. First of all, the seat is freaking horrible if you're not looking at it, if you have never rolled on a bike. Second of all, a lot of people, I know we say it's riding a bike, but a lot of people really don't ride bikes or haven't rolled a bike in a long time. So you hop on an unfamiliar bike and then you want to make sure that they understand how to turn the resistance or what's the correct way to pedal. And you know me, I like to give like a tutorial for them. I want to see them turn the resistance. I want to see them feel it when they add it and then take it back. All right. And probably the most important thing when it comes to a new person, and you hear me say this all the time, is that the hardest part about an indoor class is standing up and pedaling. If they can't stand up and pedaling, you risk a little injury. And I don't want people to be injured. And last but not least, if you teach them like that, they'll come back. And it doesn't matter if they stay 5 minutes or stay 50 minutes, they'll come back next time. And they'll remember that.
Yeah. And that's why I came back. And I still have trouble with my bike. Even though this past week, I think I've improved. I think Andrea noticed. So it's worked. And maybe after like a year, I finally figured it out. But the other thing I love is you have a lot of education in the beginning. So you teach us about heart rate zones. And with it being, you know, Heart Health Month, can you talk a little bit about that and what you teach in the class?
Yeah, I'm glad. When I saw the question, I was so happy that you asked me this, because I think the easiest way to teach somebody is not to tell them to follow you, but to teach them how it feels. So you always say, you know, like the heart zones, for those, for your listeners that don't, and people that are subscribed to your podcast, it's five heart zones. It's zone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And think about each zone as increasing in intensity. Zone 1 is an easy effort. That means you're riding easy. Okay. It feels easy. It doesn't feel like nothing, but it feels easy. And these heart zones are not just for cycling, right? These heart zones are for any type of fitness class. So anytime you feel an ease. Zone 2 is a medium effort, right? That's your effort in putting forth. I want it to feel like a medium effort too. It doesn't feel easy, but it doesn't feel like you're working. Last but not least, in the first three zones, we have what we call the working zone. That means you feel like you're working. I always say it's sustainable, but you can do it for a considerable amount of time. Zone 4 and 5 are heart zones. Hard and very hard. You've heard me say this before in class. People say, I worked hard for an hour. No, you didn't. Nobody can work hard. The best athlete in the world can only work hard for at least 60 to a minute. I mean, full out hard. So those two zones are what we call, I like to call strength and stamina, but that's when your body going to anaerobic threshold. If I can show somebody how it feels, if I say, hey, Jaja, ride easy. You know what your easy feel like, right? And then if I say, all right, go to a medium effort and I show you just add a little resistance, you know what your medium feel like. If you feel like it's not sustainable, you can take some off. But it's about how you feel. It's about your feeling while you're riding. That's why it's important. I feel it important to meet people at their fitness level by teaching the heart zones, all right? Meet them where they are. Don't tell them to come to you. Hey, guys, everybody do like me. Let's go. No, ask them, can they go? All right. Can you go a little harder? Can you push a little longer? And you know what? 9 times out of 10, they'll try. That, and the effort is the most important thing in our class. That's what we try to focus on.
And I've definitely gotten better at that. Figuring out what zone I'm in, how long I've been pushing for something. Cause it feels like, you know, when you're outside of a class, it kind of feels like intervals, you know? Yes. So that's what I kind of related it to. But I don't think I've ever done it as effective as I have in your class. So, you know, that's been really helpful for me. Right. Another thing that you shared with us or we've gone through is pacing. Can you talk about that? And you know, sometimes you'll talk to yourself in the third person, which I always find funny. but I want you to talk a little bit about it here, especially if someone from the class wants to know, why are you always making us go through pacing, or what does that even mean? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Pace is in life. A lot of people forget about fitness. If you're around the right fitness person, they're not going to teach you what you need to know about that class. They're going to teach you what you need to do in your regular life. So that's why we ask you to squat or lift your arms up, or same thing with pace. Sometimes you walk slow. Sometimes you walk fast. Sometimes you got to change directions real fast. So that's why I like to give people just simple. I try to keep it simple. If I ask you to go at a normal pace, you know what your normal pace is. If I ask you to go to your medium pace, you know it shouldn't be your normal, but it shouldn't be super fast. As long as you go a little faster. Last but not least, your fast pace. Sometimes you got to pick it up at your fast pace. And I think changing those paces help people to get out the monotony of just pedaling. It's more of a Jared mind trick than anything. I know you hear me say that, but it is kind of trick your body and doing something they're not used to doing. And if I can help you do that, then what you can do, you'll be better at it. You'll be better next time you come. And if you'll be better in the club or in a class, you'll be better outside the class in life. That's why the heart zones and pacing is probably the most important thing in a class. Teach those things. People can do anything. They can do it without you, which I want people to learn how to do. I'm your instructor, but if you go in there with the bikes, you can know how it feels to ride easy, and then you know how it feels to go fast.
Speaking of the Jared mind tricks, let's talk about these challenges that you give us in class. 3 challenges, and you're in the middle of the first challenge, and you're like, you are done with the first challenge. You're just like, this is the first challenge? Like, oh my God. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what's the why and your strategy behind these challenges? And I'm doing this for the people in the back of the class.
All right. So first of all, the challenges, I wish it was my idea. It's not my idea. The challenges is part of Edge format. Like, think about a typical spin class. If you've ever been done Peloton, or if you've done Cycle Bar, or you've done, Soul Cycle, or even we have a format in our club called AMP. You do a song, you do a recovery. You do a song, you do a recovery. Short recoveries between each song. Just about enough that you can get the song going. And as it was designed to challenge you, that you have challenges for X amount of time. All right. So they try to say 8 to 13 minutes is a normal challenge. And then you have a big type of break between it. But with doing those challenges, Jaja, you want to increase your intensity. So I can't, if you were brand new off the street, which again, you're amazing. I can't expect you to go from intensity 1 to intensity 10. I can't do that. So the logical thing for me to do is gradually take you up and to the right when it comes to your intensity level. That's why you hear me say zone first challenge. I need you in zone intensity level 1, 2, and 3. And then the second the challenge is 4, 5, 6. And then last challenge, the challenge that you hate the most, the one that you say, I'm never going to do this again, but guess who always does it again? You, is the 7, 8, 9. That's the challenge where you leave it all on the bike. You leave there completely exhausted. But what people don't know is that it is a Jared mind trick. It ain't a Jared mind trick, but it is. I'm trying to get you to push yourself longer than you would do if you are alone or you with somebody else. We call it the edge for a reason, that you can take yourself take your effort or you take your exercise past your edge. A lot of people don't think they can do it till they do it. That's why I say in that last few efforts, when we start working hard, I say it's the effort, not the achievement, that counts. It's true. It's physically taxing for your body. It's great for the body, but it's here too. This is the challenge of most people. That's why people have the quitter's day. This is why people give up on resolutions. It's not the physical part. It's the mental part. They think, I can't do it, but you can. Just try to do it longer than you did it before, or try it at all. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yep. And something I think that I enjoy about your class is I think you're right, because I'm cycling right now almost like every other day. And when I'm not in your class, I don't think I push myself as hard, but I also think it's the environment, right? You don't feel like, when we're in your class, you know, as a member, I don't feel like I'm competing with everybody else there. You do make sure that we focus on ourselves. I mean, you tell us, you know, team, you call us team in the class, but you also make sure that we remember why we came in there, right, to challenge ourselves and what your job is. Like, where does that come from? And is that really your goal? Because that's what I'm getting from it.
Yeah, it's definitely my goal, because at the end of the day, don't thank me. You know, the person you thank is you. You the one that did the pedaling. You the one that added resistance. And if you look at your statistics, you want to accumulate the miles. But at the end of the day, it is about the person in the mirror. And it's not cliches. It's how I feel about things. If you take care of yourself first, everything else will fall in line. It's kind of like that mask example I use about an airplane. If they drop the mask, you don't put it on your spouse or your kid first. You put it on yourself first. Take care of yourself first, and then everybody else will benefit. When you're the happiest and you're the most fulfilled, everybody else benefits from it. That's the thing about it. And I personally, I get very, very, I don't know. I hate monotony. I hate being content. That's why I created a new playlist. And I know you're going to get to this question later on, but I'm not going to go into that. But I create a new playlist every week, because I want to create an experience. I want you to come to my class and be like, dude, that was fun. I didn't feel like I worked out. Like, but my legs hurt. but you gotta create something for you. That's your, Jaja, that's your 45 minutes to have to yourself. You shouldn't be thinking about the person that riding beside you, or the instructor. What is he or she talking about? Focus on yourself. Give yourself those 45 minutes. In the long run, it'll help you more than anything.
And the thing is, your class is full. So sometimes you would think it would be hard for us to focus on ourselves with a full class, but you just have a way of doing that. And maybe we should touch on the music, because I do find it interesting how diverse your music is, because we can go from Eminem to Lenny Kravitz, to Britney Spears. I mean, it's from rap to rock. And for some reason, it works. But you also leverage the words in the song to, you know, to push us. So maybe can you share your strategy on that? Like, what do you do to come up with our playlist?
So you do listen, huh? You do? Wow.
I'm not just fussing at you. Yeah,
I'm not just fussing at me, rolling your eyes and cussing me out inside your mind. I'm just, now, the music has to be first. Even before I create one leg, and you know, we got one legs, we got no hands, we got ups and downs, we got speed, we got climbs. Before I even touch that type of format, I have to come up with music. Music got to be the key. You can't walk in there and go like, oh man, this is crazy. I don't even like this type. Well, that's why you make a whole bunch of, you make an array of music. You make a rock. You make a hip hop. You make a new hip hop. I mean, some update. You make some Afro beats. You make some. I don't know. Like you say, it's nothing wrong with creating a a variety of music, but it got to be fun. It got to be good music. It got to be something. And little do you know is that we're doing it, this on my desktop, on my big lab. I changed the music. So I have this software, right? So say, for instance, it's a song that I feel not fast enough. I'll make it faster. If a song that's not long enough, I'll make it longer. So I have this software that I manipulate the songs that I use. That's why I always tell you, I say, the Spotify is where I keep my playlist for you to access. However, I say it's not mixed like I mixed it, because I actually changed it. I changed the majority of music. If Lil Jon ain't fast enough, I add some speed to Lil Jon, or I make it increase. I go from one speed to next speed to next speed, which you hate, but that's all right. You good with that. But yeah, the music has to be first, Jaja. You can't, any good instructor know it has to be good music. And it got to be music that the people in the audience like, not what you like. I know a lot of instructors be like, oh, did you listen to that, the words of that song? But the song is slow. I mean, nobody's listening to the words of a song when it's like, I don't know, 50 RPMs. I mean, what's the purpose of it? That might be a good climb, but you doing it for you.
No, it's great. And I sometimes I look around and I'm like, we're listening to DMX. Everybody is driving. Okay. Okay, he made that work. And then we go right into
what you do.
And then like, from there he goes to Britney. It's like, okay, but then we're doing Tabata. So like, we're not even thinking about the word anymore, because you got us doing, you're like, we're going to do this 22 times. What? So I really think, yeah, we do need good music to stay focused.
Exactly. You got to think about your butt not hurt.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I actually, Jaja, ask people all the time, so you guys got music sent to me. You guys got ideas. Some people though, what type of music y'all listen to, man? I can't play polka. I can't play folk polka in my class, okay? I just can't.
I would wonder if they would cycle to that at home. But yeah, I don't think I need to send you anything. I think you have a good balance. And if people wanted access to your playlist, what do they do? Do they just look you up?
Like, yep, exactly. Go to Spotify, look up my name, JARROD, space Benton. You'll see a photo of me, and then just hit follow. You'll see all my playlists. I create a new playlist every Friday. And I started this year, as I mentioned earlier in class, is that this is the first year that I create best of the best. So at the end of each year, I create the best of the best playlist songs from the best of the best songs, like from you, and people walk by and go like, oh, that was a great playlist, or oh, that was hard. I keep in the back of my mind, and I create at the end of the year these playlists all through December. They're not the playlist, but it's the songs from the playlist. So this year I want to do something different. So I said, instead of waiting to the end of the year, why not do it each month? So 3 weeks of playlists, and then I create the best of the best for January. So whatever song's the best in there, I play them on that last Sunday. I'm monotony. I don't like to be bored. So that's why I do so much. And I try not to do a new song. I try not to replay a song for like 6 to 8 months, but there's so many songs out there. I mean, you can, especially with remixes and all that stuff, you can really make some good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably no reason for you to repeat, other than you felt like we enjoyed that challenge, which
right,
probably
exactly.
Is the case.
Do your podcasters know what a Tabata is? Would you care to explain that?
I don't know. Why don't you explain what it is? Because I'm so busy trying to wait. Like, do we have 10 second rest? Or, but maybe you can explain the Tabata that we had to do for what? It was almost a whole week, right?
Yeah. So one of the challenges was 24 Tabatas for everybody's. That's tuned into the podcast. Tabata is simple. It's X amount of work, X amount of rest. It's a pattern. I love pattern. I'm an engineer doing today. I design fiber optic networks for a communications company. So I'm a geek. So patterns are good to me. I love data. I love patterns. So it's the ones I asked Jaja to do was 24 20 seconds of work, 10 seconds of recovery. However, the key was the first eight were kind of at a fast pace, but low resistance. The second eight was kind of like a medium resistance, but up and down, like they were alternate. And the last eight was the hardest resistance they could go for 20 seconds. And then after resistance, they had to add some to each of the ones. So after each 20 second push, they had to add some resistance to it. Now I just scared everybody off from ever coming to my class by me saying that. Ladies and gents, only thing I ask you to do is try it. That's all I ask you to do is try it. As Jaja, I don't say you got to do this. I ask them, can you try a little more? Can you try just a little bit? Even if you don't do but three pedals, do you know how much confidence that builds in yourself that you tried that? That makes all the difference.
And yeah, the first time.
Yeah, Jared, sure.
Right. The first time I think we did it, and I'm going to like the third resistance, like the hard zone, the last phase of it. Sorry. And you're like, all right, we had eight of them and we had to do like a half or a whole turn. And I think it was just one time that I didn't like remember because I was focused on resting. And you're like, did you turn? Do I have to remind you? Do we have to remind you to pay the rent, the mortgage? And I wanted to be like, my husband pays the mortgage. Dang it. Yes, you have to remind me. Shout out to my husband who supports my podcast. But I was like, you. But I was like, turn. But I felt good about myself when it was over. Yes. So you did your job. You did your job.
Exactly. I learned a long time ago, you don't tell people, you try not to, you know how people say, I got you, you with me, let's go. Sometimes people don't want to hear that job. Some people just ask them, can you go? Can you push a little harder? Can you go a little faster? You know what? You're the strongest person I know, Jaja. And you're the strongest person to yourself, you know. So you don't need to be told, hey, I got you. I know, I got me. So let me try, okay? Because that's what we are. We want to try. And if we can't, guess what? Hey, it's all good. It's all good in the hood, as we say.
All right. Can we talk about snacking and nutrition?
Please.
Oof. So can you, like, you're pretty fit. Does nutrition play a part in that? Because you're in there, almost 6 days a week or 6 days a week? What does your nutrition look like to keep up that type of schedule?
Crap.
Oh, no.
Crap. I burn a lot of calories.
And I'm 210 pounds. And I get hungry. So I have to eat to sustain. I eat for sustenance, okay? However, I am very cautious of what I eat. I'm not one of those person that I will eat anything if I have to. However, I do try to focus on, like, I eat vegan. I eat Mediterranean. I stay away from a lot of the pastas, white potatoes, white rice. But I do have in the mornings on Saturdays and Sundays, Harris Teeter across the street have this buffet, in the breakfast buffet. So I do go over there because I'm from Georgia. I'm a grit man. So I do go over there and get my grits, my eggs, and my salmon. They got this great grilled salmon over there every Saturday morning. So that's kind of like my pregame meal. But I have to eat. I'm one of those people that I work out so I can eat. So you might not be asking me about nutrition. Hydration, yes. Nutrition.
That doesn't sound like crap, though. Like grilled salmon, it isn't crap. You're staying away from, you said, certain pastas and rices. So, yeah, that doesn't sound like crap. So then why don't you let us know what you do for hydration? Like, how does that work?
Lots of water. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning, I drink a 22-ounce glass of water. Water and digestion, that's the key. I always learned over time from doctors, from athletes, my friends that are like professional athletes, whatever, water is the key to your body. So I drink water. If I have to get something, like I like Celsius every now and then, okay? But Costco had these little energy things. I get those. And again, I drink a lot of water. I drink a lot of lemon water. So that means I get the organic lemon and I squeeze in my water. But water, you can't lose by hydrating with water. Now, hey, unless you're like my daughter. My daughter said, I hate water. So she drank these things. What do they call them?
Something in her water?
They're like freaking deaf water, something like that. But they like different things. She says she's allergic to water, but she can drink that. I'm like, okay.
Well, that'll catch up over time. Yeah. So I'm sure she'll figure that out.
She will.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about February.
Oh.
It's Black History Month.
Yeah. Please.
Is there any one athlete that inspired you? Because you mentioned, I didn't realize that you played football, so mm-hmm. we can go beyond cycling. I mean, is there anyone that you want to, you know, share that have inspired you in your journey?
Yeah, I mean, we all have heroes, right? I mean, I've always been the kind of person that try to figure out, like, watch somebody and try to take the good parts of what they do, okay? I think, I don't know about everybody, but I'm a LeBron James fan. I'm a Deion Sanders fan. I'm a Tom Brady fan. I like winning, right? I like when people, it's kind of weird. People don't like winners. It's like they win too much. Like, well, look at all the effort they put into winning, though. I mean, the money they spend, the time they spend. I think, Muhammad Ali, I mean, he's the people's champ. I mean, there's never going to be no other like that. But I don't have one specific person. I just like to take the characteristics of people and apply them to my life. Goggins, he's a big ultra athlete. He's pretty inspirational. He's one of those people who said, I'm not talented. I'm just driven. I think that's the kind of key to you. I look at you as driven. I mean, it's like we all have will, but then sometimes we just drive our way through and we want to get through it be successful. But a specific person, I don't. But again, I got a whole bunch of people I look up to and like, hey, I don't want to be like anybody. I want to make my own mold, but I try to be an example for other people that look up to me, like my daughters and my friends. And if somebody look up to me, I try my best to lead them in the right direction. I'm not perfect, but I try to do my best.
Well, thank you for that. I know that Lifetime has an event that you just mentioned in the class this mm-hmm. week. Can you share a little bit more about that event and how my listeners can support it?
Great. Thank you. It's every year Lifetime gives Lifetime and Lifetime Foundation. Lifetime has a big foundation, and every year we have this fundraiser called Ride of a Lifetime. It's an indoor cycling event, and it's company-wide. Lifetime has 150 some odd venues similar to one that you have. And for the Lifetime Foundation, we do this big fundraiser for Children's Miracle Network. We've been doing it. We started out with St. Jude's. We only been doing Miracle Network for like 3 or 4 years, but it's one of those things where it's company wide. And what happens is that we do a class that is always three instructors, and it's just super inspirational, and we fundraise. So you hear me say, hey, can you donate to the fundraiser for Children's Miracle Network? We give out QR codes. This year we're giving out t-shirts and tumblers, but it's one of those things that is good to give instead of get. A lot of time, when you come to class, I want you to get anything you need out of it, but this is your opportunity to give. I mean, everybody knows about Children's Miracle Network, and I think everybody have a heart for when a child is sick. I mean, anybody's sick and suffering, we have a heart for them. But when kids, it's like they're undeserving of those type of things. And I love giving to it. I've been one of the probably the top instructor in giving here in Charlotte for since it began. And it's not even because of me. I just open my mouth, and then people like yourself, you open up your pocketbooks and you give. Everybody does. But the biggest thing is that I get a chance to open my mouth and say, hey, guys, this is the time to give back. But thank you for asking.
Yeah.
And it's March the 8th. It's like at 9 o'clock, and it's like a 45-minute class. But again, they have them at different times at different clubs or different resorts. Don't call it a gym. Don't call it a gym. It's a club.
It's a club. Okay, I think I said gym in the beginning. But yep. For those that want information, I'll make sure that I include it in the comments that you can be a part of it. I thought it was amazing. I didn't realize. I'm not sure I participated before. I think because normally that's probably the time I start to go outside of the class. But I'm always dedicated in the winter because I normally don't want to just cycle by myself. So I'll make sure that we share this information and that I'm a part of it in March.
Please. Thank you.
Is there anything that you want to share with listeners before we close? Any closing information?
I was asked a couple years ago to do a Alzheimer's Association ride. The Alzheimer's Association, the big one, I mean, the big Alzheimer's, they hired me and to do a spring ride. It was right around the COVID time because nobody was really riding together. And I learned so much about dementia and so much about health. And even though we might not have a cure for different things, a little bit of exercise is worth it all. Me and one of the doctors, you probably don't know this. We got about two or three doctors in our class. You probably don't even know them yet. I'll introduce you. But they talked about how if people just exercise 30 minutes, just 30 minutes. Jaja, you asked me a question and I got around to it, but I want to save it for last. You know, the real reason why I teach is that if you give yourself 30 minutes, cycling to me is the only thing that's low impact, but it can be high intensity. And if you're willing to stay 20 to 30 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week, you can get so much out of it. One of your questions had to do, how is it compared to swimming and other things like that? I'm never going to knock any exercise, but to me, cycling is the easiest thing you can do. And it's the most convenient thing you can do. I got a bike at home. You probably got a bike at home. And you can get a bike online now, Walmart for like $100, $200 at the most. You don't have to have the best, the Peloton app or anything like that. But you can go in this pedal, listen to some music, pedal. It'll get so much out of you and you'll feel so much better. How do you feel when you out there competing and running and doing all the things you do and along with stuff like that? Don't you feel so good about it? That's why I want people to feel.
Yeah. So while I'm competing, no, I don't always feel good about it. But when it's over and I accomplish something, which I've accomplished several things with so many listeners, I feel amazing. And then I can't wait to share those details with others, like, which is what I'm doing now. So during, not all the time, but when it's over, I feel absolutely amazing. When your class is over, I feel absolutely amazing. But during the third challenge, not all the time. I have to be honest. But when it's done, I mean, I have a pin in my knee and a pole in my leg and I have arthritis. And so sometimes I'll walk in from running or doing another exercise and I'm like, oh, why am I in this class? I already know once we get to the third challenge, I'm going to be dying. But then when it's over, yeah, I feel amazing. And I'm always glad that I came and I'm always glad that I went through to the third challenge, even on the last weekend of the month when you have three classes at one time. I didn't think I was going to be able to do that.
So, I'll share something with you, Jaja.
Yeah, please.
You and your subscribers.
Yes.
I created is pending right now a new indoor cycling seat. I used InventHelp. InventHelp, for those that know InventHelp, they kind of helped me design it. I created a new cycle seat just for indoor cycling, for all for comfort.
Hold on.
So, you see that?
Yep.
So, this is the 3D version of my new cycle seat, okay? As you can see, what you do, you sit down on it, right? You know your buttocks, instead of your perineum supporting you in the middle anymore, it supports that part of it. So, it sits like this, all right? And you sit down on it, and it's able to support you. And then you can get up and get down. You can pedal at the right degrees. So this is it. And it's adjustable. So this is a 3D version that they created for me. So it's pending right now. And the patent's pending. And it's being like marketed and stuff like that. But it's not on the market yet. So I want to share that with your users. This is the first time I ever said it to somebody outside of people signing an NDA. But you don't have to sign an NDA anymore because the patent's pending. So this is my passion. To make people feel comfortable, because sisters and this and the seat, they don't get along. Sisters come to my class all the time and be like, I love your class, but I hate the seat. And I go like, well, let me do something about it. Plus, I have nothing but girls and none of them will come to my class because the seat's too hard. So I said, me using my engineering background, why don't I create a seat? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Be looking forward. Now I'll let you know. I know it's looks kind of fun because it's 3D, but it's great, by the way.
Well, I can't wait to share with everyone once it's live and available, so that they can get better comfort in your class. But until then, we'll just be waiting. So cool.
Thank you.
Anything else? If not,
no.
Thank you so much for your time, especially on your day off. of not teaching the class. So I really appreciate you being a feature for season 2. And I will see you tomorrow in class.
Jaja, thank you. And I guess I'm honored that you wouldn't even ask me. I'm not worthy.
Thank you so much, Jared. All right. See you tomorrow.
See you.
Are you looking for more healthy recipes? Check out my memoir, Running for My Life. It's packed with recipes that have fueled my journey and can inspire yours too. Grab a copy today at exposedvegan.com. And if you enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to hit the like button, comment, and subscribe for updates, tips, and much more. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.